Hey, y'all. I'm going to take a look today at Matthew chapter 4, Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. So this passage is crucial, and it connects up with many other passages in Scripture. In particular, it connects up with Adam and Eve's temptation in the Garden of Eden. And in addition, it connects with Israel's temptations while they were in the wilderness. Both are interwoven in here. And where Adam failed, where Israel failed, Jesus comes and relives those situations and is victorious. And then for that reason, we should say that it connects with our own lives as we face temptation. The scripture makes it clear that God never wants us to do evil, and he never tries to get us to do evil. But it also says that he allows temptation. In fact, in this passage, it says that the Spirit led him with a specific purpose to be tempted, because God allows these things to test us and mature us, to humble us, and to show us what things are in our hearts. So Jesus is reliving what the human race was supposed to do, what Israel was supposed to do, and he is both defeating an enemy that we apparently could not defeat on our own and showing us how we are called to defeat that enemy. And so, again, God allows difficulties. He allows temptations. He allows Satan to do things in the earth, and he does it, again, to humble us and test us. So whether it be the circumstances we're in that we don't like, a job that's difficult, our marriage, our kids, whatever it may be, he allows these circumstances, but he does it because he's a good father and he's trying to mature his sons and daughters, just like he allowed it in his own son's life. So let's look at the temptations in turn. First, Jesus has fasted for 40 days like Moses, like Elijah before him, and as the text says, he's hungry. And Satan says, "If you're the Son of God," notice there's an implicit accusation there, "I don't think you are." He's calling it into question. "Turn these stones into bread and feed yourself." And in all of these temptations, people have always pointed out that Jesus responds with Scripture. That's good, that's true, that's right, we should learn from that. But it's also worth pointing out that he responds with Scripture that is specific to Israel's time in the wilderness and their own temptations. In other words, he gives us Scripture that articulates the lesson they were meant to learn in those circumstances. And Jesus says, "Man does not live by bread alone." In other words, the most important need mankind has is not for food, is not for water, is not for air. It is fundamentally for what God teaches, for what he commands and teaches about life. Maybe some of you have heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and he puts all these needs in there. Well, Jesus makes it clear that our most fundamental need is to find out God's will and do it. And that is the most life-giving thing we have. And so Jesus refuses to take matters into his own hands, but obeys his Father's command. The next test, Satan takes him to the temple, and in a sense, he is trying to get him to force God's hand to work a miracle that will prove he's the Son of God before other people and to himself. And again, this refers back to incidents in Israel's situation in the wilderness when they were demanding bread or water or food, whatever, And in a sense, they were saying, God, we're not going to trust you unless you prove yourself to us. We're not going to, you're going to have to do more before we believe in you. Now, keep in mind, this is after God had delivered them from Egypt, had led them along the way with his presence. He had already done a lot, but yet they refused to trust him. Jesus says, listen, the teaching here is don't ask God to prove himself. He does love you. He is with you. He has shown his love, but don't demand he prove he's in your midst. Finally, Satan tries to get Jesus to worship him. And he says, I will give you all the kingdoms of the earth. After all, you want to bring the kingdom back to your father? Well, just bow down to me and I'll give you everything that you want. So this we could probably refer to Israel's time at the foot of Mount Sinai when Moses was up on the mountain and he was gone a long time. And they waited and waited and nothing happened. And so they say, well, you know, I mean, there's God and all, and we don't know where Moses is. Let's have a party. And basically they give in to their desires, their strong desires. They make an idol and they have a party. And of course, there's great disaster that comes from that. Moses' response, God's response to that situation is, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only. In the New Testament, Paul says that covetousness, meaning strong desire, something we must have, is idolatry. So this last temptation is to give in to idols, to worship something good that God has made and make it more important than God and what he has commanded. And of course, the response is worship God, not idols. Don't insist on getting your own way or having to have the pleasures that you delight in. If I were to turn and apply this to us, remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, lead us not into temptation. I think a very important way to understand that is, God, you know how much we can take. Don't let us face more than we can handle. But Jesus shows us how to defeat temptation. First, he's our champion. First, he defeats Satan here, and he defeats Satan on the cross. Satan is a broken enemy. The rest of history is a mop-up operation. So first of all, Jesus dealt the decisive blow. But secondly, he shows us how to defeat Satan. We're tempted to seek light, our life and our help from other things and other people than God. Jesus says, no, you need more than anything in life. You need me. You need my teaching. I'm the bread that comes down from the Father. You need to cling to my commandments and my way of life that I want to teach you. We are tempted to demand that God prove his love for us by giving us what we think we need in the timetable that we need. And he says we should never do that. We should never make those demands on God because he's already proven his love for us in the cross and the resurrection of his son and in the scriptures and in many other ways. We're tempted to impatience and to giving in to our desires. And by the way, I don't think this always has to mean wrong desires. Just we make our desires and what we want preeminent. And the response to that is that we should worship God. So in all these things, we're to cling to God's word. We're to cling in trust to him, even though it seems like he's abandoned us, and we are to worship him. Those are the ways in which, those are the tools that Jesus has given us to resist temptation. So that we can resist the temptations that we're going to face in our lives. And again, remembering in all this, that God is a good father who is allowing these difficulties to mature us and to conform us to the image of his son. So may we learn to trust our father and look to him for the word that sustains us and look to him to meet our needs in his time and worship him alone through Jesus Christ, his son, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.